1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. This is a very important paragraph, standing very near the opening of 1 Timothy. Indeed, it's a very important paragraph in the entire New Testament in regard to dealing with the place of the law in the life of the believer. As you know, covenant theologians say the law is the perfect rule of life for the believer. And we preach the law, we teach the law to believers to bring them into sanctification. That is what their confessions say, their writings, their books, their discourses on the subject. The law is the perfect rule of life for the believer. I say that this paragraph utterly destroys that principle and that teaching. Let's look at it. Why did Paul pen this paragraph? I'll use the word pen. Why did he dictate this paragraph? Clearly, the lawmen had reached Ephesus, where Paul had left Timothy as delegate. Of course, the lawmen had infested nearly all the New Testament churches. Rome, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippi, the letter to the Hebrews is about it, and so on. And Paul and the other apostles and the other writers stand up resolutely to this. They will not have the believers brought under the law. And so it is here in this letter to Timothy. And Paul is putting backbone into Timothy, nerving him, instructing him, giving him the armor and the weapons, the tools for the job, to deal with the lawmen. Paul makes a principle, sets out a principle in verse 7. The law is good, of course. Well, he says that in Romans, of course, it's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. But it can be misused. It can be used unlawfully. And men make a fool of themselves and make a fool of the law when they use it for a purpose it was never designed for. Why did Paul say that? Can you guess? Well, you don't have to guess. He said it because that's precisely what the lawmen are doing, he says. They're taking the law of God, given to Israel on Mount Sinai, for Israel, and they're using it, or trying to use it, for believers in the new covenant. You could not get a greater misuse, ridiculous use, in the sense that they're doing it, of the law, making it the binding, perfect rule for the saints of God. We know, he says, that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, rightly, properly, for the purpose it was designed. You see, he says, the law was not made for a just, a righteous, good man. It was made for the unrighteous, the lawless. Now, what does he mean by this? There is no article in the Greek in front of the word law. Paul simply wrote nomos, law. But I'm fully prepared to accept that the absence of the article does not in any way diminish the point that he is talking about the law of Moses. I've argued the case in my book on the law, Christ is All. So I'm fully prepared to accept that the law here, although the word by is not in the Greek, is referring to the law of Moses. But in the first instance, I am persuaded that the apostle is talking about law as a generic term, law in general, law as a principle. I'm not getting around the fact that he's talking about the law of Moses. I'm sure he is. But what he says applies to law in general. Law is not made for a good man, a righteous man, a just man. Law is made, always made, for those who break law. It's always against. Thou shalt not is a constant recurring theme. Let me give you an illustration. I'm an Englishman, as you can tell. And in the United Kingdom in the 90s, two laws were passed by our Parliament. A law against knives, the misuse of knife, of the knife, and the law against dangerous dogs. A man had killed several people in a place called Hungerford with a knife. The government reacted by bringing in a law against the misuse of knives. Several dogs, several babies had been mauled to death by dangerous dogs about that time. The government brought in a law against dangerous dogs. Why did they bring in a law about knives and dogs? Because of the misuse of knife, the misuse of the dog. The lawlessness of knife and dog have brought in these laws. The law is designed, is brought in, you see, to deal with a problem. Now, can it be misused? Well, imagine arresting a surgeon because he operates on people with a knife. Arresting a butcher because he cuts meat with a dangerous knife. Arresting a fish filleter for the misuse of a dangerous knife. Misuse, he's not misusing it at all, but he's got a dangerous knife. Arresting every housewife for chopping an onion. Oh, you say that's ridiculous. Well, so it is. The law was never designed for that, was it? But so it is with the law of God. That law was designed for Israel, given to Israel to mark her out as all, from all people as special. God gave that law to no other people. He says so expressly in many places in Scripture, Psalm 147 and other places. And yet, the lawmen want to take the law of God for Israel and apply it to believers, especially Gentile believers. It's a misuse of the law. The law was never designed for that. It was not designed to produce sanctification in New Covenant believers. This is what Paul is saying. Now, the law is the law of Moses. But I'll accept, for the sake of this clip, what the covenant theologians say, that that's the Ten Commandments. That's wrong. It's not that. It's the law of Moses. I'll accept their terminology, the moral law, although Paul wouldn't know it because it was not invented until Thomas Aquinas centuries later. It's a figment. But I'll accept it for the sake of this clip. To preach the Ten Commandments as the perfect rule for believers, as the lawmen want to do, to impose it upon believers in order to get them sanctified, is a misuse of the law, and is to make a nonsense of the law. No New Testament writer ever did that. They used the law as a paradigm, as an illustration, and they used all the law, but they never, never once imposed it as a binding rule or commandment. Whenever they want a word sanctification, it's always the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not the law. The law is used occasionally as an illustration or paradigm. The righteous man. Is that a righteous man who is an unbeliever? No. There's no such man. Is it the self-righteous unbeliever? No. Surely, whatever self-righteousness is, it is a sin, and law has to do with that. So it can only be the just man. And the ESV uses that word, and it is that. The law was not designed for the justified man. That is precisely what Paul says here. It was designed for Israel on Mount Sinai in that stage of their experience before the coming of Christ. Now, covenant theologians go further with this, and they hammer home their catechisms and their confessions. You can hear them, listen to them, and you'll see I'm saying the truth. And this is what they say. Our confession says that same law which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai was written in the heart of Adam before the fall in the garden, and therefore is written in the heart of all men. I have a question. I have two questions. Adam in the garden before he fell. Before he fell, when he was in his innocency, whatever would he make of the concept of stealing and lying and coveting, any sin at all? He had no concept of it. So whatever would he have made of it? Second question. What would he have made of adultery? Who could he commit adultery with? What would he make of father and mother? He had none. Neither. It's a nonsense, you see. He's making a fool of the law here. Adam didn't have the Ten Commandments written in his heart. It wasn't designed for a man in his innocency. It was given to Israel on Mount Sinai centuries later. Notice how Paul concludes his list. He pours out a selection of cases covered by the law. You can hear echoes of the Ten Commandments there, I quite agree. But he gathers it all up, whatever else there is against sound doctrine and all the rest of it. And then he talks about the gospel of the blessed God. And there's the key to it. What he's really interested in is the gospel. That's what God has entrusted to me, he said. He didn't entrust me with the law to go and preach it to believers. He entrusted me with the gospel. And that's what's going to sanctify the believer, Paul is saying to Timothy. The gospel of the blessed God to which I was entrusted. The lesson to me in this paragraph is very clear. The lawmen are precisely covered by this paragraph. They're taking the law of Moses to Israel, whittling it down to Ten Commands, and then misapplying it to believers in the New Covenant. The law of the Old Covenant for Israel, at least 1% of it, applied to believers in the New Covenant. And no apostolic writer ever does that. As I say, they use it as a paradigm, but never as a binding rule, a perfect rule of life. And we have a testbed to hand. You see, it's the overall picture which counts. I started this clip by saying that this paragraph stands at the head of this letter. Read the whole letter through. Start with the next lines. I see Christ Jesus mentioned. The gospel of the blessed God, Christ Jesus. Now I put this to you. Read through the rest of the letter. If the lawmen are right, this letter should be full of command, law, law, law. Read it and see. Count how many times you can read the word law here. Then go again and read how many times you can count Christ, Jesus, grace, our Lord, the Holy Spirit. And see the difference. This letter ends with grace. It's all about grace. It's all about Christ Jesus and the Lord. And in the opening paragraphs, Paul says, don't let the lawmen get their way. And so I say to lawmen today, covenant theologians, the Reformed, you're misusing the law. You're making it do something or trying to make it do something it was never designed for. You come under the rebuke of the apostle here. And as for me, I will take his dictum, his dogma, his doctrine to Timothy. I'm going to stand with the gospel of the blessed God and preach Christ. 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 He will sanctify the saint. Of course, he will also save the sinner. But in this context, Christ. Christ will sanctify the saint. Thank God that Paul made New Covenant theology so simple as this. It is Christ, the gospel of the blessed God.